So a great start. And then within the span of, oh, a minute and a half or so, a couple of touchdowns at the close of the first half. And those were really big, I thought, in just that constant pressure that both your offense and defense were putting on the Chargers.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good effort yesterday with regards to both the offense and defense. We wanted to start fast, and we were able to do that. You know, the 80-yard drive to open the game, and then our defense went out and went three and out and got the ball back. We stopped ourselves a couple times before the flurry of points there right before half with with some penalties. But I like the way that the guys competed, and it was hot out there. The guys handled that well. You could see that we were well prepared to handle the things that they wanted to put at us. And when you get four turnovers, you're gonna like the outcome most times, unless you create your offense creates more than that. But we've been doing a really good job with taking the ball away and protecting the football.
Yeah, Smitty, I want to talk about the defensive side off the top here and what they did and some of the things that San Diego tried to do to adjust, because you could see that there was a concerted effort to try to do different things by San Diego, but they never could seem to crack the defense. Now, they had a run or two, and certainly had a breakout run late in the football game. But early in the game, they wanted to go three tights and try to mash you with the football. Thought they could come off and out physical you. What did that say about your club, knowing that you did a physical game on a Monday night, short week, fly to the West Coast, know you didn't have a lot of physical preparation, a lot of mental preparation, but still stood up to the task and meant physically?
Yeah, it was really good start to be able to hold up physically against a team that wants to try to impose their will on you, especially when they're at home, and they were going to try to establish the run game to create throws down the field. And I thought we did a very nice job controlling the line of scrimmage, and our front seven really won the battle up front. And when you win that battle, you really got a good chance of winning. And it allowed us to get into some situations after that where we could become more offensive on the defensive side of the ball.
I would imagine the fun part of the coaching is when you play the chess game on Sunday. And I know you're how competitive you are. Obviously, the fun part is winning the football game. But playing the chess game where Norv Turner tried to do some different things to get Rivers protected, where they went to the gun, spread everybody out, they still got him hit. They went to the gun and brought two guys in and tried to chip the edge. They still got him hit. That's got to be fun for you to see you can dial stuff up and get it done.
Well, it was. And our defensive staff did a very good job in putting the game plan together schematically. Had some familiarity with Norv. When I was in Jacksonville, I played him here in 2008. Mike's worked with him, so there was a lot of familiarity, and we did a really good job of seeing what he was trying to do and then reacting to it. He put a lot of window dressing out there and tried to run some of the same plays, and sometimes you'll get mesmerized by the window dressing and not really see what's going on in the window. And our guys had that zoom focus to realize what was happening.
At the same time, you're doing a lot to try and, as Dave likes to say, muddy the water on him too, right? Because all the things they're doing to try and confuse you, likewise, you're back with them with all the movement that Coach Nolan and the defensive staff have put together.
Yes, they were definitely playing the chess game, and there were a lot of moving parts. They were a team that liked to shift and move and motion almost every play. Well, we were trying to do the same thing with them. So it was basically a two-way street. They were not going to know where we were going to be standing, and we weren't going to know where they were going to be standing. But ultimately, when the ball was snapped, everybody's got a gap that they're responsible for, and they've got to be there. And on the offensive side, there's a point of attack that we're trying to go through, and we got to get to that point.
Coach's show live from Flowery Branch here on Sports Radio 790 The Zone with David Archer, Wes Durham, head coach Mike Smith, of course, here in our first half hour. I know the body of work is far from complete. In fact, you just said in your comments, hey, guys, we're just three games in. To that effect, how much of what you're doing, and I'm not looking for state secret here on percentage, but how much of this is new every week, and how much of this is stuff that's already in that you're that you feel good about and have a great deal of confidence in running on both sides of the ball, and how much building is continuing to go on with both units, Coach?
We've got really good players, guys. You know, the guys that go out there and stand between the sidelines are really good players. Mm-hmm. And they're very smart players as well. So we can make adjustments. We can make changes. But for the most part, this is the scheme that we're going to be. Now, it could change based on injuries. It could change based on who we're playing, but we want to keep it as simple as we can. And again, I've said this from the very beginning, my philosophy on football is that you want it to be simple for one, okay, sophisticated for 11, and complicated for your opponent. And I think when you do that and you keep it simple for one guy, and it's very compartmentalized what he has to do, whether it's offense, defense, or special teams. It's simple for one. It's sophisticated for 11, and it's the responsibility of the coaches to take those 11 pieces that are together and simple and make it sophisticated. And then, in turn, when your opponent looks at it, it's very, very confusing, and you want it to be complicated, but it really isn't. And that's really the gist of what we're trying, what we're trying to get done.
To that effect, yesterday, Julio Jones banged up on the first play, and then Michael Palmer got banged up as well in the first half. You had to get Drew Davis, Tommy Gallardo ready and kind of incorporated. That simplicity factor, obviously that comes into play when something like that happens, right?
Most definitely. When you have guys go down, you've got to make sure that, because backups in this league don't get a whole lot of reps in practice. So you've got to make sure that you have a set role for those guys, and when they come in, you got to make sure that what you're calling they can handle. And the inventory may shrink a little bit on both sides of the ball if you have someone come in because they haven't had an opportunity, but we know what they're capable of doing, or we can get them coached up there on the sideline.
Smitty, the offensive line, and you mentioned the front seven defensively dictating, kind of creating the tempo you looked for in the on the defensive side of the football. Offensive line, so often overlooked, but Maline coming into this season is playing their rear ends off and protecting Matt. When you throw the ball 40 times and they don't really get around your quarterback, and then you're able to run it and polish the game off like you did at the end of the game, that tells you those big guys up front are getting it done.
Yeah, they've played well through the first three games, Dave. We've been able to keep our quarterback upright for the most part. I think Matt will tell you, hey, three games into it, this is probably the best his body's felt. They're doing a really good job. The backs are helping in the pass protection as well. When they add a fifth or a sixth rusher, well, there's only five linemen, so the backs have to be involved. We also are doing a very nice job with our wide receivers. We all have to be on the same page, because if it's a blitz, we may have to break a route off. So they're doing a nice job, and it was good to see there at the end of the ball game that we were able to run the ball as effectively as we did. It was good to see. I thought Jaquez the whole game ran hard. I thought Michael ran hard, and there in the end of the third quarter, when we really started to take control of that ball game, we kind of jumped on his back and let him carry us.
All right, we got more with Coach Smith coming up, and including the start of division play. The Carolina Panthers are here on Sunday at 1:00.
Ryan from the gun with Quiz Rogers. Here's Matt throwing. That's a dart, and Gonzalez, the Atlanta touchdown. Tony Gonzalez, the touchdown, and a jump shot over the goalpost.
Get coverage of every NFL team from your smartphone. To get NFL Mobile, call Star NFL to get it now. NFL Mobile only from Verizon.
Back with head coach Mike Smith at Flowery Branch and David Archer at West Durham. How's that 5% on Gonzalez working right now? You think touchdowns in every game so far, right?
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable, huh?
Yeah. He just is amazing. I don't know about the jump shot. I kind of like the dunk. I don't know. How about
Archer?
You?
Yeah, I like the dunk, too, and I think that he's trying to mix in, let him know he does have a perimeter game. They don't need to steal the hole all the time.
I believe that those guys were talking at – on Saturday about their, you know, their basketball and their ups and their.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I think so. I thought that I overheard that conversation between Tony and the wide receiver, so maybe he wanted to show that he wasn't just one dimension.
Yeah, well, he posted what we were talking in the second half. He posted up Atari Bigby most of the second half. So
yeah, he did. did a nice job bodying away, going back, getting the ball down on the low post.
How big was it, Smitty, when Julio goes down with the injury, and you talk about how tough a kid he is. He comes back after a significant injury to his hand to play extremely well for you. But while he was out, it looked like San Diego realized Julio's not in the game anymore, so they tried to do some stuff to take the other two guys away, and Tony was huge. So was Roddy. Both of them stepped up big.
Yeah, it was. It was really nice to see the way that they were trying to defend our offense, and when Julio went out, they did roll it the other way, and Tony got, I think, 12 targets and 9 catches. So he had a big day, and we liked the matchup going in, and he was very productive. Tony against the linebacker, he's going to win most of those battles.
Hey, Coach Mike Smith with us. Of course, coming up in the Buckhead Beat Spotlight, safety Thomas DeCool will be alongside with Dave and myself. All right. Now the dynamic of this season changes. 3 games in, you've gotten 3 AFC West games out of the way, and Arch and I were remarking yesterday in the second half, now all of a sudden here comes the division. Here comes the NFC side of the scope. And you get a team here on Sunday who is a rival game, obviously, 1-2, talented, has done some nice things. Coach Rivera's second year now through the draft, through free agency. Didn't play well last Thursday night, but didn't play well last Thursday night, which is a long time from when you played, Coach.
That's right.
And I know how that scheduling thing works in your mind and in terms of your preparation, I think.
Well, the first thing that we've got to do is we've got to get some guys healthy, got a few guys banged up. We're going to be playing a team that has basically gone through a bye week. You know, it's a mini bye. They've had an opportunity to do a lot more game planning than we have, more the coaching staff than the players. But it's a really good football team. Coach Rivera and his staff, they'll have those guys ready to go. And we're going to see a running attack. I think in week one they threw the ball a little bit more, but I think the last couple of weeks they've gotten back to running it. And it's not just one guy that's gonna run it. You've got the two running backs, and Williams and Stewart. And Mike Tolbert's actually getting some carries, too. He's a big load to bring down. And then you've got the quarterback, and he is a big man at 6'5", and he's got 24 carries for 81 yards. And I've seen him have a couple of explosive runs. I think they lead the league again in explosive plays. They've got an offense that can create some explosive plays.
What challenges now, Smitty, when first of all, you go from an offense that just played with Phillip Rivers, who wants they want to try to run Ryan Matthews certainly in the game, but ultimately it's Phillip Rivers' game and he wants to sling it around. And now you've got a guy that has a big arm that can throw it way down the field, but also a guy that's going to try to bludgeon you with the running game. How hard is it to shift gears to that concept from what you just had?
Well, it is different. We have, we'll have to change some things defensively in terms of our game plan. When you're facing a team that runs the type of offense that they will show throughout the game, you've got to account for the quarterback as a runner, not as a distributor. You know, when you're playing teams like we've played the last couple of weeks, you don't concern yourself with the quarterback running the football. And when you're defending the run, that allows you to have one more player than they do, because basically the quarterback distributes it, hands it off, or throws it down the field, and he's not a factor. When they're in this spread offense, when they're running the spread offense and they want to run some of the spread option series, the quarterback has to be accounted for by your defense, and you've got to be very disciplined in what you're doing in terms of your run fits. And then they'll switch gears, and they'll be more of a traditional offense, and Cam Newton can throw the ball down the field. He's got a very strong arm. He's thrown for almost 800 yards the first 3 games.
So. Ironic then that the next 3 weeks you're going to deal with a quarterback like that. Not only Newton, then Robert Griffin III in Washington, and then Vic is somewhere along the lines after that. I mean, 3 of the next 4 ball, 5 ball games, you get quarterbacks that are like that, right?
Yep. That,
I know you don't want to look ahead, but it is interesting it falls
dynamic,
in its slot.
Yes, it is a different different dynamic in terms of, you know, of this week. You know, Cam's got – he's got some weapons. Steve Smith's still the number one receiver, but I was very impressed with number 11.
Yeah, Brandon LaFell.
Brandon LaFell. Yeah. Yep, he's coming into his own. He's got good size. He is a guy that through the first three games in the tape that I've watched when I was out there on the in San Diego, he's making some plays. And you know what Steve Smith can do. He's probably the most competitive player in all of football. So it's going to be a challenge for our defense this week, and we're going to have to change gears a little bit in terms of our game plan.
You have been a part of so many unbelievable defensive units in your long coaching career, Baltimore, and I know you had really good ones in Jacksonville, and you've had some good ones here in the first 5 years in Atlanta. Do you believe or subscribe to the theory that there are teams that just kind of find the football on defense? And is this, I mean, through three games, is this kind of one of those teams?
Well, we've done an excellent job in creating turnovers through the first three games. Our guys are attacking the ball on defense, and we've become very offensive on the defensive side of the ball. And it's something that we've preached from the day that we got here that you want to take the you want to take the ball off of the offensive player, and it's not done by an individual effort. More times than not, it's done by swarming the football and getting multiple hats to the ball, taking good. Angles, pursuit angles to the football. But I think that they come in bunches, and once it starts happening, you become very confident that you're going to go in there and you're going to get the ball out. And we're able to do that. Both of the two of the four turnovers were down in our red zone when they were getting ready to go in. They were two big plays. That could have been some points, points on the board. We definitely took points off with those turnovers, and we were attacking the football.
How much of an element is built in? Wes just mentioned what you're going to see over the next couple of weeks. Obviously, Cam Newton is your focal point right now. When you've got a team, and it looked like, and I watched some of the Bengal game yesterday with Washington, and there was a concerted effort by Mike Zimmer's defense. Every time RG3 tried to run the option, they tried to reduce him physically. They tried to hit him every time. Even though he's pitching the ball, they were laying the wood to him. Does that become part of the element here? If they're going to run the quarterback, then he's going to have to pay the price physically.
Well, there's different ways that you try to stop the option, and I don't think you can give them the same look every time. I think it's important that you change it up, and you try by design to take certain things away. Certain defensive schemes are going to say you're going to, on the option play, that you're going to take the quarterback away. You're going to make sure that he doesn't run it. There's other times that you're going to make sure that they don't pitch the ball. And when you're doing that, you got to have different players running the alley to play the quarterback. The thing that I think we've got to get our hands around, for this week is there's going to be lots of formation. Coach Shednitsky over there. Mm-hmm. It does a very good job game planning.
Yep.
He is got a very good mind in the spread offense, and he uses his talent very well. He can get in there and basically do it out of a one back set. He can do it out of a two back set with both Stewart and Williams in there, and Cam. So you've got a triple threat basically in terms of running the football.
Right.
And I think they've done some really creative things in their gadget plays with reverses, screen passes and things like that.
All right, Coach, thanks as always for the time. Appreciate it. Congratulations on the win. I know you're excited to get ready for division play, huh?
Division play, yeah. You gotta take care of your division first. We put a lot more weight on our division games and our conference games than the games that we just went through. They're all important, but you got to make sure that you take care of your division.
And the Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight today is Thomas Decou. California homecoming, two picks, fumble recovery. Arch, I'm trying to figure out what else you could have done if you're Decou.
Well, another interception or something.
Yeah, another pick. Three, the hat trick.
Mm-hmm. I think I left one out there.
So. Did you leave one, you think?
I think I left one out there. Me and Will and I were watching the film just a few seconds ago. I think I might have left one out there.
I don't know which play was better for me from a having played the position of quarterback and knowing that you try to get away with stuff. The throw where he throws it late in the flat and you make the unbelievable pin it against your shoulder pad interception. Again, get not only that, to get but get your both feet down going backwards out of bounds. Or the play that I talked to you after the game about where he tries to shove it down the seam to Gates because the Gates has got I think, beaten down the seam. And you lay out from the free safety spot and bat it away with the right hand. Those are two big time plays. You got to be excited when you make plays like that.
Yeah, most definitely. It's I mean, like I said after the game, you know, Will and I, we've really prided ourselves at getting better at, you know, making plays on the ball while they're in the air, and you know, making quarterbacks think about throwing the ball over our heads. So, you know, I think it's become kind of evident in the way that we're playing this year so far.
What is the secret? And I just asked Smitty about this. I mean, and we talked about it late yesterday in the broadcast. Is there some corner contagious confidence now about getting around the football and making – because three games in, you guys got 11 takeaways, which, you know, and I'm not sure the chronology of it, that's got to be a pretty high number for the first three games ever, let alone for this franchise. But is there some sort of contagious confidence about, hey, if it's out there, there's a real good chance we can make a play on it?
Yeah, it's just – it's the kind of thing where it's like an old cliche saying that we have is, you know, they come in bunches. So now once the floodgates are open, we feel like – you know, now the floodgates are open. You know, now it's just time that they're going to pour in, and now we're going to gain, after each interception or fumble recovery or forced fumble, we're just going to gain more confidence and get, you know, more aggressive at the ball.
That's awesome. Thomas Descoux with us in the Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight. He'll get a certificate from Buckhead Beef so he can enjoy the freshest, finest, most tender steaks, chops, and more from Atlanta's own Buckhead Beef. It's the best there is.
TD, when you look at what you needed to do coming into the season, what were some of the things? I know you guys were excited about Mike Nolan coming in and what you kind of got a little taste of in the OTAs, but what did you do in the offseason to get yourself ready and to be a better player this year?
I worked out on my own. You know, I kind of took the things. I've been training a couple of different places, you know, my first few years in the league. You know, I trained in Los Angeles, Arizona, and even in Georgia at CES Sports. So I kind of took all the things that I really liked or I felt that, you know, I got better at while I was there, and I kind of put them all together in my own kind of, you know, threw them in the blender and hit the button and kind of did my own kind of training regimen, and I guess it's paying off.
Yeah, you're excited. You got to be excited about the way it's going. I mean, physically you look great. I mean, you've always been one of those kind of guys that looked like you're cut out of stone anyway, but – but you look like you got a lot more energy. Looks like your focus is where you liked it to be. You're having fun.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think, and it's kind of, you know, a combination of our chemistry on the back end. You know, us playing. This is our third or fourth year starting together. Whichever, you know, whenever each one of us has gotten here, and just the scheme. You know, we're really comfortable in the scheme. I kind of think this scheme was tailor made for safeties like Will and I, just being people who can roam. Athletic safeties who could play either safety spot, so it doesn't matter if I'm playing man coverage or he's playing man coverage or we're dropping back into zone, either one of us can make plays. So I just think that confidence and the scheme and us, that chemistry coming together, it's fun.
Some call it swagger, some may call it personality, but there's a sense you guys have got a lot of that too, and maybe 22 has something to do with it. And we know Spoon is, you know, shy and, you know, hard to get it to come out of his shell. But, I mean, I mean, is it that everybody's kind of having fun and everybody gets along? I mean, we hear a lot about chemistry and intangibles like that. But it seems like, and we were talking about that night in Dalton, since Asante's shown up, the dynamics changed a little bit, right?
Yeah, I think.
Not to put it on one guy, but it just kind of infused everybody else.
I know what you're saying. It's just like there were already a lot of characters on this team before.
Yeah.
And I think Asante coming and being a really, really vocal leader and a guy who's not afraid to yell anything during practice or during the game at all.
Right.
It just kind of brought it out of everybody, and it kind of broke the ice. And now everybody's just, okay, now we're all going with the flow. Let's have some fun out here.
Thomas Descoux with us here on Player Spotlight on the Mike Smith Show here on Monday. You hear it every Monday, 3 to 4 on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. TD, when you I was – laughing with you guys. You guys are watching film, and that's another question I want to ask you, but you guys were already here watching film. You and Willie Moe are watching film together. I said, do you ever get concerned that you might get caught around the line of scrimmage because of all the stuff you guys are doing around the line of scrimmage? Is that ever a concern? Because I know there's some fans out there that love what you guys are doing. What if they snap it quick on you?
I mean, that we kind of had that a little bit against the Broncos. They try to hit us with a couple, you know, those burst screens, those now screens to the wide receivers, you know, thinking that, you know, they could, you know, beat us up the sideline, beat the pursuit up the sideline. But, I mean, the thing is, like, usually, you know, if we're playing the middle of the field out of those kind of looks, and, you know, you can play the middle of the field from anywhere as long as you get back deep enough and you're on your horse once you get out of your look. It's just, you know, once it happens, we have to get to it. But the thing that we've seen so far is just a burst screen.
All right, on the back end of that, I just mentioned that you and William Moore were in watching film talking to one another about why you did this, why you did that. The communication really is as good as I've seen it since you've been here, since Smitty's been here. And Smitty just told us that of the 60 guys that are on the roster, or however many on the roster, 50 of you will be here today watching film on your day off. Mm. I mean, what's that tell you about your teammates?
It's just it's just about the dedication of the guys. You know, it's not because, you know, we want to be up here to get a brown nose on. We're up here trying to get better, and it's a sense of pride about, you know, the guys and wanting to get better and to keep this snowball going the way it's going.
You know, you hear the term everybody gets along, but seemingly everybody gets along. I mean, and you could tell that we're training camp or even in the off-season program. This is a group that's kind of been put together. Interesting combination of younger guys, 5 years younger, 5 to 10, and then, you know, 11 and change. You got a nice blend of guys here, right?
Yeah, we got the full spectrum. You know, like you said, we've got rookies, 3 to 4 year players, 5 to 10 year players, and then your 10 plus guys. So we've got everybody covered. We got our seasoned veterans, our up and coming guys, our young guys that are playing well. You know, it's just we got the full spectrum.
Interesting set.
Do you differentiate? You guys play 3 AFC West teams to start the season, which is really kind of strange. To play 3 teams from another division that you don't see until another 4 years down the road. But do you guys differentiate between an AFC West opponent and knowing that you've got Carolina coming up to a divisional opponent? Is there a difference between those games? Or you just guys, it's just one at a time? How does that work?
I would say just because it's a divisional game, just the, you know, the intensity will be turned up a little bit more. Not to say that, you know, you don't go into every game wanting to play well and play hard, but I just think it's just a little bit more weight on it, you know, because, I mean, division games are basically 2-for-1. So, you know, it's really, it's more amped up. You know, we see these guys twice a year. We know who we're playing. They know us. We know them. So it's just who the better man's going to win that.
Yeah,
game.
I was going to say those three AFC West teams you just get through playing would say that if you're turning up the amps next week, they want to know what they got this week because you guys are 3-0 and took care of business. So,
yesterday, Dave and I were talking on the broadcast at the end about the number of people that were in San Diego, California, and the chant of "Let's go Falcons" goes up in like the second half. Mm. You recall that ever?
Oh no, that's the first time I've seen anything like that. They had the whole.
Now, I know some people needed a lot of tickets yesterday.
Yeah, I had to get about at least almost 30 because I had who to have?
Here we go.
Pretty much my god's daughter and all her family. My wife, her maid of honor, her sister.
Yeah, we got a lot of ground to cover with you on all that stuff, don't we?
One of my groomsmen, his roommate, a couple of his. It was a whole bunch of people. Then my best man came with his girlfriend. It was a whole bunch of people. But yeah, I mean,
okay, that's 30 of what seemed like about 1,500 to 2,000.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. The whole behind our bench was basically all Falcons fans. Like, and then there was, you know, it was a whole lot of other Falcons fans peppered throughout the rest of the stadium, but that whole lower level was Falcons fans, pretty much.
We hadn't seen that.
Well, I want to ask you, and I don't know if we have time. Do we have to catch a break?
No, we're good.
Okay. Well, William Moore told, you know, he had to buy all the tickets for the Kansas City game.
Yeah.
And he says all he needs to do is get his people in the building. You don't even need to really have a seat. They're going to get the premium seats.
Now,
are your people a little bit more cordial to the rest of the fans, or are they going to go get theirs?
I knew exactly where they were because after that, the first interception, I went and pointed to the nosebleeds up there.
Right.
So that's where they had them. So I knew where they were.
But at the end of the game?
They were still up there
down low? I don't know if they snuck down.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, they started to pour out.
William Moore said for kickoff, his were above the tunnel.
The rules were off when the people
apparently their seat might have been somewhere else, but
it's free game.
The wish and hope concept, you know.
Yeah, I wish mother would.
All right, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, at 2828 on Twitter, Instagram, got married last summer, right? Last spring?
Or in May. May
19th. May, got married May. A lot of things to cover. You got a lot going on. Plus, a road trip to California last weekend.
Mm-hmm. We had to go home.
Plus, where he thinks Pac-12 football stands up as the Pac-12 and the SEC look like they're on a collision course.
Mm-hmm. About time.
About time we start. Got a little SEC fatigue, dude. You have a little SEC fatigue,
not,
huh?
Yeah, it's not just finesse football on the West Coast, man.
All right, stay tuned. Thomas DeCou in the Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight with Dave Archer, West Durham, the Falcon Coaches Show from Flowery Branch continues right after this. All right, with Thomas DeCou, pocket analysis on Julio.
Oh, that catch was ridiculous. I saw the TV version just earlier today.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to go watch it after we were done. Me and Will doing watching film. I was going to go see that and really slow it down because, I mean, granted, he had hurt his hand.
Right.
And then be able to make a catch like that, that was ridiculous.
Well, and it goes to show you where Ryan and he are because, you know, Ryan and Roddy have their thing. And, of course, he knows how to get Tony the football and whatever body the defender's not on because Tony's playing a low block all the time. But for Julio, you can throw it somewhere on the ladder and he's going to go get it for you. That was a big-time throw as well.
Yeah, most definitely. And that's, you know, just a testament to his athleticism and, you know, his build.
Yeah, no question about it.
All right, time for the U.S. Auto Sales You Tell Us text line. Each week, fans text in at 77530. I'll offer up a question to our player guest here in the Buckhead Beef Spotlight. And this question comes from area code 912. What is the biggest contributor to your success this year? And you talked earlier about off season, but is there something else to it?
I would say I'm a person who's more spiritual than religious, and my uncle, who basically had a huge part of raising me, he passed away like basically a week before my wedding. And one of the things that he always preached to me was the difference between winners and losers is confidence. And, you know, I've really tried to, you know, take that into heart in the way I played this, you know, at least the start of the season.
Well, and it's certainly, I think that you certainly, and Wes mentioned Asante, but I think that each one of you have a nice little blend you bring to the team from a confidence standpoint, whether it's Spoon's kind of bravado, you know, your intelligence and your spiritualism, the way you play, your synergy between you and Willie Moe, you guys really seem to have a nice blend. It's pretty cool. How much of that do you have to try to impart on the guy that's backing you up? Because this is a battle of attrition. And it was like Robert McClain came in against Denver, and here, you know, Wes mentioned he had a name tag on his play on his helmet because nobody knew who the hell he was. He comes in and makes a play. He plays it perfectly.
Yeah.
He midlines the seam and the corner. How important is it for you guys to make sure you're continually talking to the guys that are backing you up?
I think that kind of atmosphere makes it easy. You know, if you come to a place, it's being a new guy or a guy who's, you know, kind of not used to the guys, and you see that, you know, everybody gets along. There's no beefs in the locker room. It's just you want to be a part of that. You feel more apt to step in and, you know, really jump on the bandwagon fast. When you see that there's a lot of turmoil or tiffs between guys on the team, you're kind of hesitant. You're playing double dutch, trying to feel your way around on the team. But when the atmosphere is that of a lot of friendship and a lot of chemistry and guys are getting along, it makes it easier to get into the flow.
Mike Nolan's injected some juice into this defense because you're not playing the same thing all the time. You know, you and William Moore are both blitzing the quarterback. You got the slot defender coming. How much more fun is it to play defense knowing that you're not just locked in center field all day long?
It's great. It's just now we can, kind of like I alluded to earlier about Will and I both being kind of hybrid type of safeties, now we get to utilize all of our skills at any time in the game. You know, granted, you know, there may be games where, you know, the scheme calls for us to blitz more or do this or that or third more, but we have a much more opportunity to utilize all of our, you know, our skills.
Thomas DeCou is with us, of course, the safety from Cal, and Art said he wanted to discuss Pac-12 and SEC fatigue here in just a moment. I want to ask you about social media here because you got about 8,800 followers on Twitter, 3,100 followers on Instagram, and it's at 20, T-W-E-N-T-Y, 8, A-T-E, 2-8. Mm-hmm. you like this. You're kind of that's a connection point for you, isn't it? A lot of people. I mean, it's an interesting follow. Today, you basically told people that you and your wife are going to have a baby.
Yep.
I mean, it's an important connection for you, right?
Yeah. It's you know, our fans are interested in us, and they're the reason why we get these big paychecks. And you know, if they weren't watching these games and coming to the games and buying the jerseys and whatnot, we wouldn't have a job. So, you know, as much as I can, you know, make the fans feel connected and you know, involved somewhat in our personal lives, or have that extra connection to the guys that they're paying money to see, you know, why not?
It's kind of fun for you guys too, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah, definitely.
Matt Ryan's on Twitter now.
Yeah, it's good. It's fun. It's, you know, it's an outlet because, you know, like we talked about earlier, there are a lot of characters and funny guys on the team, and you know, it's an outlet for, you know, some of the funny stuff that goes on in the locker room and whatnot, and you know, and it connect with family and stuff like that. You know, people who are long lost, and you know, friends that, you know, I'm 3,000 miles away from all my friends and family, so it's a lot easier way to keep connected with everybody.
Are you still tuned in to what your alma mater's doing, Cal, and what's going on at the Pac-12? How much do you watch that? Pay attention to that.
I try to catch it as much as I can. You know, I follow, you know, all the California Golden Bear Twitter things, so
right.
I get my updates from there most of all, because, you know, it's hard to see, you know, a Pac-12 game on the East Coast, especially
right.
in the Southeast. It's going to be all SEC ball or ACC ball or, you know what I'm saying, a Big East ball. Isn't it? You're not going to get any Pac-10 ball.
Okay, so can you give me an unbiased opinion?
No,
there's no such thing as unbiased with him.
I'll try my best.
Tell me, I mean, Oregon had a huge win over Arizona on, I think that many thought that Arizona was going to give them a run for their money, and they beat them 49-0, which was, I don't know if that's more of an indictment on Rich Rod's team in Arizona or tells you that Oregon is legitimately one of the best. They've slid over LSU and now number two in the country. So Pac-12 won, or SEC won, Pac-12 2, SEC 3. I think Stanford's lingering somewhere,
and so is
USC in maybe the 13s area. Where does the Pac-12 in your mind stand up against the rest of the country?
I just think, I've said this before, I think it's just two different brands of football that are played. You know, in the Southeast, it's more smash mouth, run it down your throat. You know, physical football.
Sure.
Whereas on the West Coast, it can get physical. There are teams that like to run the ball, but it's West Coast football. You know, finesse, athleticism, speed. You know, and it's obvious with, you know, Oregon. You know, they run the spread offense. You know, they throw the ball down the field. They get wide open running lanes and just let their athletes go. And like you said, their defense is playing well. So that's where the smash mouth mentality comes in. Our offense is going to spread you out and go up top, and our defenses are going to play sound solid defense.
You have a good time with the college game within this team, don't you, because of how many different schools are represented? I mean, you got Willie Moe and Spoon. This whole Missouri thing's gotten a little out of hand, I think. But, you know, right?
Yeah, it's sounding like it's the year of the Tiger, maybe. I don't know.
Well, the Gamecocks said
no. They've had a couple losses here.
Gamecocks hammered them this last week.
I mean, do you kind of you have fun? Everybody has fun with the college game.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's always those. You know, I bet you my school beats your school. Or this week, all right, we're gonna do 5 push-ups for however many touchdowns you lose by, or whatever it is. You know.
Okay.
So it's a lot of fun. You guys are having a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun.
How much does that translate to the field, Thomas? When you talk about, you know, you guys practice, and I get a chance to watch you practice, and it's a concerted, and as Smitty likes to say, Zoom focus when you're on the field. Yet there is this levity in the locker room, the levity in between drills or that kind of stuff on the field. How much does that translate to the field, keep you loose to play?
I think it translates a lot because if during the week everybody's wound up tight and, you know, got their hands balled up in the fist, it's like you're going to be out there thinking on Sunday. You know, rather as a being, you know, loose and just playing football and letting your muscle memory and your film study and, you know, the scheme work for you.
All right, you get Carolina this weekend, divisional opponent. You mentioned it ramps up some. This is an interesting. You guys have played against this guy. You played against him twice. You were able to turn him over a couple times. In fact, Willie Moe had a big interception up there last year that kind of turned the tide in the second half. How difficult? What are the challenges Cam Newton presents to you guys as far as trying to get him stopped?
Just him being able to run the ball. Or, you know, make plays with his feet and with his arm. You know, he's a really good passer. I don't want to say that gets overlooked, but, you know, more people, you know, are afraid of his ability to run the ball. But he's definitely a really good passer. And just that hybrid ability that he has, you know, even if he doesn't run the ball and pass the line of scrimmage, he can still extend plays with his feet and get the ball to his receivers.
We were touching on this with Smitty. Three of the next four games, and there's a bye week in there as well, are against guys like Newton. You got Robert Griffin III, and then ultimately you get Vic in Philadelphia, I think, in late October. Is that the way you kind of compartmentalize in terms of your preparation when you get to those guys that have that ability? I mean, does that help this time of year to be playing those kinds of games in relative sequence, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, so because it keeps us on our toes in terms of that kind of quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we don't have to, you know, prepare for, a Cam Newton and then a pocket passer and then someone with a little bit of mobility and then another, you know, Mike Vick. So we get to get those guys, you know, back to back to
2 minutes.
Steve Smith, outstanding receiver, been around a long time. Steve has a unique way of trying to get under people's skin as well on the field. Have you experienced any of that? What do you think of Steve?
It's fun. We have a lot of fun, especially the DBs when we play against Steve, because we know he's crazy and he'll try to get a rise out of you and get you out of your game. But it's all fun. You know, we know it's part of the way he likes to play the game. Part of like. He likes to get under. You know, he's adopted, I guess you would say, the Muhammad Ali approach to the mental side of the game. You know, he's going to get under your skin and make sure you know he's there. And it doesn't matter if it's a 2-yard catch, a 5-yard catch, a 50-yard bomb. He's going to let you know he made that catch.
I know tackling's a premium every week. We just got a minute or so here left. How important is it this week with these two backs, this quarterback at 6'5", 250, and a guy like Steve Smith that can make you miss?
It's going to be huge because, I mean, you know, you got two running backs that are – they will run through tackles. You got to put your pads on these guys. You know, Smith is, you know, probably one of the strongest receivers in the game. And, you know, we already talked about Cam. He's a big body. It's going to be hard to bring down. So it's going to be paramount this week.
You enjoy playing at home too, don't you?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I love the Atlanta fans.
It's your favorite part?
Yes, sir.
Thomas Tekeu, great to have you with us. Thanks for the time. Congratulations on the great start.
Most definitely. Thank you guys for having me.